Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Greetings, welcome to Feedback. 715-845-2155 is the phone number. 715-845-2155, welcome to it. Here's just a side note that had nothing to do with what I had prepared to talk about. You know the digital currency that we talked about a few weeks back called Bitcoins?
Right.
You know how I can tell that they are a legitimate issue now? These gold-selling websites, the gold-selling houses, you know, all these places that want you to buy gold and so forth.
Right.
They're starting to go after Bitcoin.
They will accept Bitcoin?
No. They're going after them. They're criticizing them. They're saying, oh, don't get ripped off by Bitcoin. Don't do this. They won't address something like that unless it is a real infringement upon their profitability to sell their product.
Well, there are, I mean, basically there are very few, if any, rules involving Bitcoin and those currencies. And some guy in Wisconsin, just, there was a story the other day, got ripped off for over $100,000 worth of Bitcoins or something.
Yeah, and that's the real issue, is that because it's unregulated, it is a currency form that was designed for digital transactions. It is predominantly used in the black internet, the underground internet, the black market. And there is no real stabilization, no real control over its value. And because it's digital, it's hackable, if that's a word. You can get in there and cause real havoc with the value of this particular product by simply going in and making some adjustments online, which that you shouldn't have. Listen, if you're a gambler and you want to risk a little bit of capital by gambling with it, fine. Don't risk the mortgage. Don't risk your retirement. Don't risk money you have to have. It's like playing blackjack. If you can afford to lose it, go ahead. If you can't afford to lose it, not the product to go after. Okay, that's not what I was originally talking about, but I just found it as I was getting ready for the program. Just an article that popped up, and I read it real quick. What I want to start off with is pizza.
Pizza?
Pizza. Tom, do you like pizza?
Oh, pizza's like the perfect food. I could eat pizza three meals a day.
I'm not sure I could do three meals a day, but I could sure eat pizza several times a week.
With all the different varieties? If you had to survive on one food, and one food only...
Pizza'd be pretty good.
I'd pick pizza.
Yeah. If I could have it from different locations.
Okay.
Because you want different sauces, sure. You want different cheeses, different toppings,
absolutely.
Okay? Saw a TV show over the weekend that was talking about there's a pizza joint in Minneapolis that's supposed to be really, really good. It's around
the... You won't want to go there, though. That was the one that was trumpeted by President Obama at the State of the Union speech. He brought the owners out to Washington, D.C. to celebrate the way they are handling the Affordable Health Care Act.
No, absolutely not. It's it's the pizza joint that's around the corner from where Andrew Zimmern lives, and he goes there like every day. So
it might be the same one.
God, I hope not. Anyway, well, it's interesting that you bring Obama into the conversation because...
Oh, wait, here we go.
Well, would you say that pizza is an extremely popular food?
Yes.
Would you say that most of Americans love pizza?
Yes.
Do we need a government study to prove that?
You wouldn't think so, but what is the reason for this study? There must be a reason given.
Well, that's part of the reason why we're talking about it. The United States government put together a report detailing how much we love pizza, and how much of it we're eating. As long as we're going to talk about it, let's give you the facts of what the report said. 13% of Americans eat pizza on any given day.
I would think that number would be higher, but okay.
25% of men aged 6 to 18 eat pizza on any given day. For those who eat pizza on a given day, it accounts for 25% among kids and 29% among adults of their daily energy intake. It's a huge source of nutrition for our country.
This is a study for school lunches, for school cafeterias.
It is simply a study on pizza.
There must be a reason
the
given.
The people who eat the least amount of pizza are women ages 60 and over, and overall men are eating pizza much more frequently than women.
or which branch of government did the survey? Which
The U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
All right. So now they've ignored a few things. There's the anchovy issue. Okay. They've ignored the whole whether thin or thick, you know, thin or pan crust.
Right.
These are issues that they complete.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I bring this up is that this is typical of the government saying, okay, they may use the information for nutritional purposes. They may look at it and say, okay, is there a way to make pizza healthier? You know, if they're eating pizza, do we need to
ramp up cheese production and
whatever. But predominantly, all of the information that was published and that has been used so far is the responsibility of the pizza manufacturers to gather that information, not the government to do a study. I don't see a reason for the government to spend a penny on this information.
Well, like I'm saying, there must be a reason given.
Well, I tell you what, I tossed it in your court. See if you can find a reason for the government study. To me, though, I can really understand the government thinking sometimes of, hey, we got to manage. We got to keep an eye on things. We got to make sure, you know, if pizza, there were studies that said that pizza caused face cancer or, you know, something of that nature, and it was determined to be a harmful substance, okay, then I can understand the government then getting involved and saying, all right, how dangerous is it? How prevalent is it? And is it a threat to the national security? Then I could understand doing a study on pizza. But pizza is a product that is made by businesses. It's produced and sold to the public as a consumer good. Government has nothing to do with it. Nothing. So if the government wants to know about who's buying it, the sale of it, how much we eat, it's that information has been gathered already by the people that are marketing the product.
It was part of a study done by the USDA, and the study was called What We Eat in America.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to find out, this is for the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, What We Eat in America. They wanted to find out what we're eating, how much of each stuff we're eating, you know, when we're eating it, what age groups are eating stuff.
Okay.
That's what the study was done for.
Then there's a better way to do that. All you have to do is gather information that's already been published. You gather information on sales. You gather information from the people that are manufacturing the product and say, okay, we're doing a study on how much people eat pizza. Can you send me your sales? Go to the top pizza producers, you know, the chains. Go to the people that make the frozen pizzas, et cetera. Get a little bit of, you know, information from some of the mom-and-pop shops, that kind of thing. I guarantee you the large pizza chains know how much business the mom-and-pop shops do before they open up a chain. What restaurant we were talking about Red Lobster, I believe. Why didn't they have a Red Lobster in the Wausau area? And Darden Restaurants came in, took a look around, and said, yeah, we'll never compete with the Friday night fish fry. Never.
And the other thing they always use is there aren't enough, the population isn't large enough.
Right. So what I'm saying is the company that is producing the product, they know these statistics already. It's a waste of government money for them to duplicate the effort. This is just an example of where the government, if they would think logically and think things through on a common sense basis, yes, they would still have to spend some money researching the companies that are out there and gathering the information.
Would they save any money over doing the survey themselves as opposed to going out and gathering all the information from different companies?
Why reinvent the wheel? Why reinvent the wheel? Why have focus groups? Why have this? Why do all the – go to the companies that know the answer already. Yes, it would still have to spend a little bit of money, but not as much as what was spent. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Now, we're going to take our first break, because when we come back, I won't have enough time to talk about this. Remember yesterday you came bouncing into the studio all giddy about Governor Walker lying about voting for Ronald Reagan?
Well, I just mentioned the report that was out there that said Scott Walker, in a, I don't know if it was in a speech or a letter or a memo or something, said that he voted for Ronald Reagan, and he wouldn't have been old enough to vote for Ronald Reagan.
And you don't know where it came from?
Yeah, I could find it.
Mm. No, that's okay. I got this. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be right back.
Thank you for such a great show.
The news you need, the issues you're passionate about.
Okay, here's the point I'm trying to make.
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback.
Before you do your Scott Walker thing here, here's an update on the dumb Starbucks that we talked about earlier this morning.
Oh, yeah. For those that don't weren't with us when we talked about this, there's a shop in Los Angeles that opened up that's calling itself Dumb Starbucks, using the exact same Starbucks logo. It looks like a Starbucks. They've got all the same products, all the same coffees, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, Starbucks, not happy.
Well, Dumb Starbucks is no more. The L.A. County Department of Health has shut the shop down for operating without a health permit. The shop, it says, may have been part of a publicity stunt for the Comedy Central show Nathan For You.
Okay.
A new show coming to Comedy Central.
All right. So that's what we speculated this morning.
Yeah.
The individual that's behind is Nathan Friedman.
I know I'm not going to watch the show, so I don't care.
Why not?
I don't know.
It may be right up your alley.
I have too many shows to watch now. My DVR is bulging, as they say.
It may be one of those anti-big business.
It might be, but I don't have time for another show.
You know, help prop up the one percenters or the poor 99%ers. Yeah. Save the whales. It may be something right up your socialist alley.
Okay.
You never know.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talked about that this morning, I thought, when they said that the guy from Comedy Central was kind of behind, I thought, wow, this is a very expensive publicity stunt.
Yeah.
The question comes in, was it more cost-effective than just doing a TV blitz, making promos and putting it on TV? Because I got news for you, man.
We got a lot of publicity. We probably wouldn't have talked about it here.
I wouldn't have talked about a new comedy show coming up on Comedy Central unless it was something like this.
The only thing that would have worked better would be to get the government to do a study on it.
True. Okay, so here we go. Tom came into the study, into the studio a couple days ago, yesterday, I believe, just so giddy.
Well, I wasn't,
he found an article.
I wasn't giddy.
Oh, you were. You were just, you had your hands up like this.
I was perplexed as to how Scott Walker would say something like this that is so easily lookable.
You liar.
No.
You were happy.
Well,
you had a smile on your face, and you're
like, sure. I'm always happy. When guys on the right are caught up in you know.
Controversy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Issues?
It's always fun.
So here he is. Tom is thinking that Governor Walker got caught up in a lie, and
the reports were all over the place yesterday that Scott Walker.
Reports from where?
You could go to legitimate news sites. You could go on the web. You could go all over the place. And
left,
no, not
media.
Just left. This came from a right-wing source.
Here he goes. He's getting all spooled up.
This story came from something called the right-wing news.
Right. Right-wing news published an interview with Scott Walker.
Yeah.
And it quoted the Republican governor as having said, quote, he voted for Reagan when he was a teenager. Many news websites, of course, jumped all over it.
Because
it
would
quick,
be impossible.
Right.
The math doesn't work.
Quick to point out that Walker was born in 1967. He's younger than I am. Doesn't look as good. He was born
I don't know. Have you looked in a mirror recently?
Yeah, I look in a mirror. I look at the mirror and go, hey, baby.
How you doing? Yeah.
All right. So being born in 1967, of course, he was too young to vote for Reagan in 1980 or 1984.
Right.
So here is the quote that was published by right-wing news. Admittedly, let's think. Right-wing news. Pro-conservative.
Yes.
All right. Here's the article. Quote, I remember I was a teenager, had just become a teenager, and voted for Ronald Reagan. Limited government, you know, smaller government, lower taxes, strong national defense. You knew what you were getting. You knew how a Reagan administration, a Reagan presidency, was going to be better for you. Okay, now, you can understand how if that was published, and everybody doesn't take people long to go, see, 1967 is when he was born.
Right.
Sorry.
Easy to look up.
So the other news outlets came out and said, Scott Walker says he voted for Reagan for president, which is totally impossible. Scott Walker claims he voted for Ronald Reagan, but that's not possible, said the Huffington Post. In the Salon magazine or publication, which is, there's Left, and then there's the Salon publication. Scott Walker gets busted for lying about voting for Ronald Reagan, said liberal blog Politics USA.
Now, you're getting all of these selections from where? The Blaze or somewhere? Are you going to quote some of the mainstream press that also reported the story?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, legitimate newspapers?
No, go ahead.
Journal Sentinel and other places?
Then quote them.
All right, I will. Yeah, Let me find them.
Yeah, go ahead, and I'll finish this. Most, if not all, of the outlets had since updated their initial stories. Why? Well, right-wing news reporter John Hawkins is the one who did the original interview, went back and listened to the actual audio of the interview and discovered that he had made a big mistake. He says, quote, it's a little hard to hear at that point, and unfortunately, my transcriptionist made an error. Mm-hmm. Push it off on the poor transcriptionist. Here is what the actual interview, quote, is. Not what was published, but what was on the audio tape. Quote, a vote for Ronald Reagan meant limited government. You know, smaller government, lower taxes, strong national defense. You knew what you were getting, so forth and so on. The rest was. He did not say, I voted for Ronald Reagan. He said at that time he knew that a vote.
Well, and that's good, because I could not believe that Scott Walker would make a mistake or say something like that, knowing that how easy it is to look it up, that it was eventually going to come out that, you know, obviously he couldn't do it.
Yes. I will give you the fact that you did say that.
I did say that.
But you were as giddy as a little girl. You almost twirled around and danced.
Well, you know, with all the time left between now and the presidential race of 2016, we keep seeing all of these implosions. The Chris Christie election to president is probably a foregone conclusion at this point in time.
I think Chris Christie has done more damage to his ability to be elected by being Chris Christie, not the bridge scandal. The bridge scandal, I mean, let's really think about this, is a very small, petty issue compared to some of the things that have happened with other candidates. Look at vice presidential candidate running with Edwards. What was his name? The attorney, the ambulance.
Edwards was the vice
president. He was. All right. Oh, that's
John
right. It was John
Edwards.
Kerry.
John Edwards, yeah.
John Edwards. At the time he was running, the rumors were rampant that he had a love child.
Mm-hmm.
And reports were out there that he had been messing around and had an illegitimate child.
Mm-hmm.
That is a derailer to your office.
Well, you remember Gary Hart. Gary Hart. Gary Hart could have been the next president of the United States.
And was it Jennifer Flowers?
No, Gary Hart was.
That was
Donna. I can't remember
Donna,
her name. On the boat.
That's right. Monkey business.
Monkey business. He basically challenged reporters and said, "Catch me. You know, prove it." Well, they did. Gary Hart lost the chance to be president.
So those are legitimate scandals. Now, after the Clinton administration, a presidential candidate playing a little grab butt with his secretary on a private boat. Unfortunately, we've become so desensitized to that type of inappropriate behavior. I'm not sure even that would derail a presidential candidate at this point.
Right. And, you know, it didn't start with Bill Clinton.
It didn't start with Bill Clinton.
John Kennedy,
yes,
Franklin
John
Roosevelt, Warren Harding.
Kennedy was hitting on everything that walked in a skirt in the White House. We know this.
Mm-hmm. We didn't know it then.
But we know it now. Yeah. But the reporters kept it quiet.
Right.
Okay.
They were complicit.
Yes, they were. Now we know about this thing, and it has desensitized us. Had the American public known about Kennedy's skirt chasing, it would have been a horrific scandal. The Kennedy family would have just had a fit. Although, you know, Dad would have been like, son, you got to keep this quiet. You know this is what we do.
Well, there are.
But you got to keep it quiet.
There are reports that there were huge payoffs made at times.
Of course there were.
And there were
threats
made to reporters who were thinking about.
Absolutely.
You know,
I don't doubt that at all. That's the way the Kennedys did
power
business.
Power waged at its highest level.
My point is that with the Chris Christie Bridgegate scandal, that is not enough to derail his presidential candidacy. It's not. By the time we fire up 2016 campaigns, that's going to be a non-issue. There'll
you
be
think?
Some. Oh, I really
the biggest,
do.
The biggest newspaper in New Jersey has just revoked his endorsement.
So what? Big flying hairy deal.
Okay. You think Chris Christie still has a shot to be president?
You know, I think Chris Christie has destroyed his credibility with the other things that he has done. Not Bridgegate. But you're going to tell me that Chris Christie is no longer viable as a presidential candidate, yet Hillary Clinton is after Benghazi? Nobody died because of the bridge scandal.
Well, there was one woman.
Allegedly. Allegedly. And there's additional circumstances. But Benghazi?
Benghazi's been investigated by Congress, been investigated by committees. There's been testimony.
You are making my point. You are making my point.
It's the scandal that is not there. It's the scandal that you keep building up.
No, you're making my point. It is a legitimate derailing scandal. It is one that should take her out of contention.
You
not
think?
Only because people died and she lied, bold-faced lied to the American public and to Congress. She lied.
If people dying in a war situation
you make excuses for her and that entire circumstance.
What I'm saying is if people dying is a legitimate derailing of a presidential candidacy, there have been presidents reelected that have sent people to their deaths, that have made decisions that have caused people to die.
The only circumstance that I can say is even remotely similar is Ted Kennedy and Chappaquiddick. Chappaquiddick put the lid on the coffin of his presidential run.
Oh, there's no question.
Plain and simple. Nobody was going to forgive him for that. But in today's environment, when Hillary Clinton knew what happened, lied to the American public, and nothing has happened as a result, that should derail her. But it's not going to. It's not. It's going to be a political issue, but I don't think it's enough to hang the hat on. WSAU Wisconsin Morning News. When we come back, what exactly is white privilege? And should you, the taxpayer, and I pay for training about white privilege? We'll be right back.
The Rush Station, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.